have everybody ask the oldest person in the room questions about their life and their life journey. And really, the stories that come out of that are sometimes remembered forever. And so it's really a way to capture those stories, because with my family, I realized what we didn't ask, we did not have. And what we did not write down or record with video or audio, we do not have. Those stories were lost. So in this legacy organizer, I tried to write over 100 questions people could ask aging relatives, and just make it very practical and very helpful and very enjoyable to do that with family.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley, and I am so glad that you have joined me for this edition of our podcast, because we are in for an important conversation. And I want to welcome to the show today Brian Cluth. Brian, thank you so much for joining me today.
Karen, it's wonderful to be with you, and just want to bless everybody that's going to be listening to what we have to say.
You are a best-selling author, a pastor, a speaker, and you really have honed your ministry and your mission to help people in the area of generosity and church finances, and that is something that all of us can apply to our lives. I'm excited to be able to talk with you and really to help our audience be able to apply some really important truths to their life. Maybe before we get started, Brian, on some of the practical sides, our topic for this podcast is going to be how to get the house in order. But that is not something that's just an academic lesson for you. It's something that I think came from your personal journey, both in ministry and in your own life. Share a little bit of the backstory with our audience.
Sure, I'm glad to do that. I was a pastor for 10 years, and I sat with a lot of spouses and adult children when somebody would pass away, when a loved one would pass away. And I was always stunned at how often a spouse didn't have important information that they really needed to carry on after that loved one was gone, or even the adult children didn't have information, or they had conflicting information. And I just saw the chaos and the confusion and the hurt that happened, and I just kept saying to myself, I need to write something. I need to do something about this problem that is so prevalent in marriages and in dealing with aging parents. And then in my own journey, I had a wife that had cancer. She was only expected to live 1 year, but she ultimately lived 8 years. But in her early 50s, she also passed away. And so I learned from some things at that time. And then dealing with the death of my parents and my wife's parents, we learned some things along the way. So I just kept seeing this huge need to have something. And I ultimately wrote something called The Legacy Organizer, and really tried to say, okay, what do families and spouses need to know from aging parents? What do spouses need to know from each other? And I wrote the Christian Legacy Organizer around that idea of really answering that question. What does your family need to know? What do your loved ones need to know?
In our world outside of Lead Like Jesus, we also walk alongside people often in crisis in our ministry. And you're right. It seems like this is a topic that we all kind of know that we need to do something about, but that we seldom do. Just kind of one of those things that gets on that important but not urgent list in our lives. And so I hope that all of our listeners will just stay tuned, because I felt like the way that you outlined it, and we'll make reference, I believe the product that you just referenced is called Because I Love You, and we will definitely give the audience a way to be able to order that and get their hands on the material. But you break it down in a way that I feel like might be helpful. Take it from intimidating and overwhelming to really kind of narrowing it down to about four different ways that people can take matters into their own hand and be proactive so that they set their family up for success. Kind of that first area that you talk about is to get your family matters in order.
The Legacy Organizer, when I wrote it, I dedicated it to my father, who always told me a short pencil is better than a long memory. And this whole manual is that whole idea of writing some things down. And with family matters, I think of one particular woman who was told me she was so upset with her husband, really mad at him. And I was saying to her, you know, Darlene, you don't have a husband. She said, well, I know, he died 3 years ago. And I said, and you're mad at him? And she said, yeah, I'm furious with him. Every week I'm mad at him. And I said, well, tell me a little bit more. And she said, oh, Brian, he was a wonderful man. He took great care of me. We had a fantastic marriage. And he died, and he didn't leave me any information. And every week something happens in my life, and I don't know who to call. I don't know who to turn to. I just wish he would have written down the banker's name, the insurance person's name, the plumber's name, the mechanic's name. If he would have just written down some things so that I would have known who to call when he was gone. And he didn't do that. And 3 years later, she was so upset with him. Then even in with my wife, when she died, my 16-year-old daughter came to me and said, Dad, I need to go to the orthodontist. And I said, well, great, where are we going? Because my wife always took her.
Right.
So I don't know. And I said, well, honey, you've gone there for 4 years. You know where it is. She said, well, I never paid attention. And then she said, I need to go to the eye doctor, too. And I said, well, where's that? She goes, I don't know. I said, well, what were their names? She said, I don't know. And I realized, as a single dad, I didn't know where to take my daughter. But because I had written the Legacy Organizer, I had created a page of, you know, who to call, like babysitters and insurance and doctors and dentists and all of that. And I found that page that my wife and I had filled out together a few years earlier, and I was able to take my daughter to the dentist. I was able to take my daughter to the orthodontist and the eye doctor. But if Darlene would have had a sheet like that, she wouldn't have been mad at her husband 3 years later. So those are an example of when I talk about family matters, there's information your family needs to have to carry on when you're gone.
Every person listening to this, we kind of divide and conquer different roles within our homes. And so if something were to happen to me and I don't have this written down, I told Chris early in our marriage, I said, listen, you focus on being the best father, husband, and pastor you can be, and I'll take care of everything else. And that was something that...
Well, I had one of those wives, too.
Yes. And so we laugh, but it's really not funny that if something happened to me, there are a lot of things that Chris, just because I've said, hey, I'll take care of it, he would not know where to begin. And the last thing that any of us would want to do is know that we have left our loved one, like this woman that you referenced, in a place where what is already hard becomes harder.
Yes, exactly.
Most people in their mind, they think of the will, the bank account, and those are definitely really important things. But I even noticed as I was looking at the organizer, you have really specific things on there that, again, somebody might take for granted, but your spouse or your loved one or your child may not know. Things like, where do you turn off the water main in your house? Things that...
Computer passwords.
Yes.
All of those kinds of things, yes.
And those are really helpful things as well. And then maybe would you touch on for a minute, before we move on from family matters, talk also about just kind of your perspective on maintaining the integrity of your family history, that's a huge part of this as well.
Oh, absolutely. After my mom passed away, we were at a family reunion, and it turned out my mom was one of the last aging family members to pass away. And at that reunion, that whole generation was gone. And I suddenly realized whatever questions we didn't ask, there was no one now to answer them. So I sat down in this Legacy Organizer, and I wrote over 100 questions to ask aging relatives about their life, about their values, about lessons they've learned. And it's a great resource to take to a birthday gathering or Mother's Day or holiday gathering and just pass it around and have everybody ask the oldest person in the room questions about their life and their life journey. And really, the stories that come out of that are sometimes remembered forever. And so it's really a way to capture those stories, because with my family, I realize what we didn't ask, we did not have. And what we did not write down or record with video or audio, we do not have. Those stories were lost. So in this Legacy Organizer, I tried to write over 100 questions people could ask aging relatives, and just make it very practical and very helpful and very enjoyable to do that with family.
I can imagine, because I know that before my grandfather passed away, I really had not lived in the same city with him, and he moved to be near our family in the latter years. And I would go to his house about once a month. We'd schedule a lunch, and I would just go over and start asking him questions, because I wanted to know really who he was and what his life had been like. But honestly, I didn't write them down. And so now, years later, I have kind of the memories. But as time goes by, I start second guessing and questioning, did I get that correct? And am I remembering correctly? To be able to document it really means more to your entire family than you could maybe even imagine.
Absolutely.
As we're talking about this, I can see that maybe if you're in the season of life where you have aging parents, you know that their life expectancy is towards their latter years, that you might go, yeah, I probably should get around to this. But maybe you could speak to our younger audience. What would be the reason that they shouldn't wait and that they should have an interest in this type of opportunity, even though they might be younger?
Well, one is you don't know when your spouse is going to be gone. Tomorrow's not promised to anyone. And are you prepared? Does your spouse have the information they need to carry on if you are gone or incapacitated suddenly? It's just a reality that we live with in today's world. So that's a big one. But again, definitely for your aging parents, but also in this legacy organizer is your guardian wishes. You might be younger, but who are your guardians? And in the forms that I developed, I actually have, you know, choice one, choice two, choice three, because life circumstances change, and you might have close friends now or family, but, you know, 3 years from now, there might be something different happening. So this is for any adult, not only for their own marriage, but also dealing with aging parents. What I tell people on this legacy organizer is nobody will ever fill out these 40 different forms. But what I tell people is fill out the forms that are going to be helpful to you. My wife told me, hey, Brian, I want that list of all those service providers because when you travel on an airplane, things break and things go wrong. And so she wanted it when we had little kids. She used that particular form just to kind of manage life and manage home when I was traveling.
Well, I think about in our journey as parents, we have two teenagers now. One's a freshman in college and one is a senior in high school. To your point that when our children were younger, when they were in elementary school, we had the thought, you know what, they probably would do best with my sister and her husband, but they live out of town. That would mean if something happened to my husband and I, that my children would be literally relocating somewhere else. But as they get a little bit older, you realize that that may not be the ideal situation once they get into their middle school or high school years, that there might be an arrangement for us. We were like, no, that would be too traumatic for them to also have to start over all their other relationships. We needed to find something that would keep them in their same school and at church and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And maybe as our audience is listening, there are some that are proactive people and they may have taken care of this for their own immediate family. Have you seen in your ministry and your opportunity to go and speak on this topic where people have been able to influence even maybe their siblings or other people because there sometimes are unintended consequences when people that we love are not prepared as well?
The reality is when I've done speaking events across the country, both for financial professionals and in Christian settings, my sense is 90% of people do not have this in order. Even the people that think they have it in order, after they've looked through the legacy organizer, heard me speak, said, oh my goodness, there are so many things we never thought about. That's what I did. I studied over 100 manuals in creating this manual. Someone says if you take from one source, it's plagiarism. If you take from 100 sources, it's research. And so I researched over 100 planning documents to create this one. I call it the most comprehensive planner on the planet, because I really covered so many things in this legacy organizer. And again, no one will ever use all the pages, but there's everything on there you really need to know and gives you access to, hey, what do I need to get together for my family or get from my aging parents? That was kind of the purpose of this.
As I was going through it and looking at it, I thought, you know, this is what I need. I need somebody who has done the work for me to get the questions I need to answer in front of me. And that's exactly what you've done with this. And I even think in our context, there have been so many times, like you alluded to earlier, that you are walking with someone who has just lost a family member and they don't know what to do in the shock and in the pain and in the grief, that we need a checklist of, okay, what is it that I should be doing now and where do I even start? And this provides that as well.
In the back, there's a page called 40 Things to Do After a Loved One Dies. And literally, I had a woman tell me, she said, I held on to that page for a year. It told me exactly what to do. Even in my case, when my wife passed away, there was one of the items on the checklist that said, you know, make notification that your wife passed away to certain places and people and groups. Well, our family ended up getting $50,000 that I never knew existed. But because I was going through the checklist and just doing it because it said do it, I literally, our family got $50,000 that I would have never gotten if I would not have had that checklist of this is what to do after someone dies.
So we touched on getting your family matters in order. Brian, talk to us a little bit about what you mean when you say we need to get our finances in order.
Yeah, the biggest thing I want to say here is somebody, I mean, your spouse and trusted family members need a list of accounts, the name of the account, where it's at, the amount of money, number, the phone number, the password, whatever. They need just a full list of accounts. And my father was dying of cancer. He sat down with my mother one day, and I took out a napkin, and he said, honey, I'm going to die pretty soon, and you need to know about the finances. So he writes down, you know, this is how much money we have. These are our expenses. These are our investments. This is our life insurance. Oh, and then he said, oh, by the way, I took out an extra life insurance I forgot to tell you about. It's just through my employer. And so he wrote that down. He said, it's $125,000. And, you know, he told her some other things. A few months later, he passes away. A few months after that, my mother gets a letter. Dear Mrs. Cluth, we're sorry your husband passed away. While he was employed here, he took out a special life insurance policy and encloses your check for $25,000. If people are listening to me, what I said was my dad told my mother that he was supposed to get $125,000. My mother got a check for $25,000. She called me and said, oh, I think Dad made a mistake. And I said, I don't think he did. You get in touch with them. You tell them you have a written note from your husband, this napkin. Tell them that it was $125,000. And she contacted them. And they said, oh, we're sorry. We made a typographical error. Please send us the check, and we will send you the $125,000. Now, if my mother would not have had that napkin, and or if someone doesn't have that legacy organizer list of accounts, chart of accounts, if they don't have that, the average person would just cash the $25,000. And my mother and my family would have been out of $100,000 because they wouldn't have known what the right amount was. So if your family does not have, your spouse, your family does not have the account number, the value, the contact, the login, the phone number, whatever, that money will be lost to your family forever. Very, very important that they have the list of accounts.
Brian, your example with your mom brings up a question in my mind. Depending on the dynamics when a family member is lost, if it's somebody that is not accustomed to dealing with banks and businesses and insurance and kind of knows the drill, it can be an intimidating process. And you add the grief and the loss and just the sense of fog that you're in after you have lost someone that's dear to you, how important it is that she had the confidence that really you imparted to her to say, no, Mom, go back. Dad was right. Can you speak to how this organizer can be helpful that even if it's someone who's not necessarily gifted or skilled or practiced in this area, that there might be other people that are and that can come in and help and carry out that role, but they need this information too?
My brother was the executor of my mother's estate, and my mother approached me before she died. She said, Brian, you're better with numbers than your brother is, but he's the older and he's the executor, so I want you to help him, but don't let him know you're helping him. So anyway, so I actually made this list. I went through all my mother's records. You know, I went through everything. I actually found some insurance policies nobody knew existed. But I put them all in order, and I sent them to my brother because he was the executor. I said, hey, I just put everything in order. Here it is, you know, so you can do your job as an executor. I get my inheritance, I don't know, half a year later, whatever it was, and I go through the numbers, and was like $25,000 missing. So I got a hold of my brother, and I said, you know, hey, I just thank you for all the great work you did, but, you know, there's some money missing. He said, oh, no, there's not money missing. You got everything. And I said, well, you know, I made you that sheet. And he said, oh, I didn't need your sheet. I just threw it out. And I said, well, there are some things you missed, so let me send you the sheet again. And then he got back and said, hey, you're right. You know, I did miss some things. Thank you for sending it to me. So in that case, you know, I was the one a little better with numbers. My brother did the work, but you know what? Having that list of accounts out of the Legacy Organizer just made life easier for everybody.
Brian, we were laughing, and I'm just sitting here thinking, I hope your brother's not listening to this podcast for him to...
I'll be in trouble if he is, right?
That's right. But what you just described is really more common than uncommon. So many times in family dynamics, just the whole executor and all of the afterlife issues that a family is left to deal with, they can be complicated. I know that you are a pastor as well as an expert on generosity and finances, so I maybe ask you to put your pastoral hat on for a moment. What would you say to somebody listening to this podcast right now that maybe they are in that tricky spot where they want to be a help, but maybe they're not welcome to be a help, or maybe they've been given the role and they don't really feel comfortable or confident in their role? What wisdom would you maybe give to them to navigate through this so that their family is healing and moving in the right direction, that there's not more adversity after the result of the death of a loved one?
I think the big thing is to be sensitive. You know, not wanting to start an argument, but you're saying, you know, to the one that's maybe in charge, is there anything I can do to help you, or is there any piece of this journey forward that I could take off your hands? I know my wife's siblings are very, very close, and they really have divided many of the challenges dealing with their aging parents, and they've done it very, very well. But then they've had family meetings to kind of brief everybody. One of the things that can happen is, you know, one person's in charge, others can offer to be of help or take a piece, but also to have some kind of a meeting scheduled where everybody kind of gets caught up to date and you're able to kind of talk through things. And before my mother passed away, we had a family meeting that was huge. It had a huge impact on everybody going forward after she died. There are many things that happen, and I talk in this Legacy Organizer about how to have a family meeting with the siblings and the aging parent to really cover things that really need to be covered, because without that, you can really be finding yourselves in some very choppy waters, and some siblings never recover from, you know, things that get handled poorly at the end of a parent's life or after they died.
So did you have that family meeting that you're referencing while your mom was still alive? She was a part of that?
Yes. One of the things we went over were her funeral wishes. And we have a chart for how to plan a funeral. And she knew every single thing she wanted, but she had never told a single person. So we went through the little chart, and she kept saying, well, you're my children. You should know what I want. And we said, Mom, you've never told us. We don't know what you want. But she told us, and we wrote it all down. And we said, Mother, if we know your wishes, we can honor them. And so we were able to use that funeral chart and go through and get, she knew every single thing, but had never commented, never told any of us what she wanted until that day.
We talked initially about getting your family matters in order, your finances, and that was a perfect lead-in to talking about getting your final wishes in order. Is there anything that you would add to that of how to approach that maybe? Certainly if you have somebody who is sick and has a terminal illness, there's a little bit maybe more of an expectation of that conversation coming on. But a lot of times if a family member isn't ill, but they are aging, those conversations kind of feel awkward or presumptuous or sensitive. How would you suggest, and what other things would you make sure would happen so that you can get someone's final wishes in order?
Well, you are correct that it's awkward and it can feel uncomfortable. And my mother told us she wasn't going to attend any family meeting. So I said, Mom, it's at your house, so you're going to...
Just ignore us. We're going to be sitting next to you.
And we made it only siblings. We did not have the spouses in that meeting. So, and we had kind of an agenda of things we wanted to go over and say, hey, we just want to talk about the future, because we live in different parts of the country. It was at Christmas time. We said we don't get to see each other that often. We want to cover some things while we're together. And I think that's the thing you want to be addressing, is what's on the horizon that could or should be talked about, and to schedule those. And one of the first things we did with my mother is she said, what's this meeting about? And I said, well, we want you to know how much we love you, and we want to thank you for what the great mother you've been. And I said, that's how I feel. And, you know, Ronnie and David and Paula, they can say what they want. And they looked at me and they said, we agreed with Brian. Yeah, whatever he said, we agree. We agree. We love you, Mom, and we appreciate you. And that's how the meeting started. And then she said, well, what else is it about? And then we talked about her needing to move at some point. We talked about the funeral wishes. We talked about the cottage, the family cottage we owned, and what should happen to that after she's gone. And she had very clear thoughts on a lot of things, and we were able to really glean a lot in that particular meeting. And she was gone from that meeting. It was probably about 9 months later that she passed away.
Well, Brian, as I'm listening to you, the thing that keeps coming up as a theme is the importance of communication. Yep. Even if it's a hard topic and it's an awkward topic, it's so much better to be intentional and have conversations because the silence leaves the room for misunderstanding. And so I love what you're saying. And I think I'm writing notes here, no spouses. I think that's a really important thing to give the biological family the opportunity, a mom to be able to be with just her children, and that kind of reduces the complexity of the meeting and all of the personalities might be a wise thing for people to follow your lead on.
That's a very important element. That happened in my family, and then I'm remarried now after my wife died, and with her family, it's just the siblings and the parents. So that's the best environment.
We're coming to the end of our time on this particular podcast, but I don't want to miss the final aspect because it may be the most important aspect, and you really encourage people to get their faith in order. What would you say to our listening audience about the importance of that in their own life and also in the life of their loved ones that are aging?
Well, that's such a huge piece because we get everything in order, but we don't know where we're going when we die. We've missed the most important question of life. What's going to happen to me after I die? 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. It doesn't say hope or wish. It says, the Bible says that we can know that we have eternal life. And that means if we have Christ, we have eternal life. If we do not have Christ, we do not have eternal life. We can know that. I was teaching one time at my church, and I was teaching on this verse, and a doctor in his late 80s said, Brian, I'm not sure I have eternal life. And we talked, and we prayed together, and he got that settled before he died. When he died, I did his funeral, and this is a true story. He had me put a fork in his hand in the coffin.
Okay.
Sounds very strange. So, okay, we're having the service in the church. The coffin is in front of the pulpit. The people walk by, and he's lying there, and in his hand is a fork.
That'll catch your attention.
So everybody's like walking by going, why is the fork there? So it's just a strange thing. So he said, Brian, you tell them when you preach, you tell them why the fork is there. So when I got up to preach, and there are hundreds of people in there, I said, you know why the fork is there? Because John had gone to many potlucks over his 80 years of going to church. And they always take away his plate and say, keep your fork because the best is yet to come. He wanted me to tell all his family and friends, when he died, he knew where he was going. He knew that he had eternal life. He knew he was going to meet his Savior. And that's why he wanted that fork in his hand, that everybody would know the best was yet to come. Hmm. So I like to say to people, could you die with a fork in your hand?
Hmm.
Do you know that the best is yet to come? If you don't know that, you can settle that today. And I settled that when I was in my 20s, when I received Christ. Others, you can settle that today, and through trusting in Christ and what he's done for you on the cross, you can receive his forgiveness, and you can have eternal life from this day forward forever.
Brian, I can't agree with you more, the importance of that. And maybe as a listener, maybe you are a believer, but you know that you have family members that you've kind of avoided that conversation. Sometimes just to have peace within the relationship, we can avoid some of those topics. And I would just encourage you that, just as you said, Brian, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And to have that no regret decision, that you know that you've had that conversation and given your loved one an opportunity to really wrestle with that if they haven't made that decision, leaves you with an outcome after their death that is way different than if you have avoided that conversation, not purposed to really enter into that conversation with them.
You know, even in the Legacy Organizer, we have a page that people share their faith, and they literally sign that I know where I'm going when I die. Hmm. And we kind of have the steps to peace with God that Billy Graham outlined. And so people can have that as a settled issue. And so that you leave a written testimony behind to your family that I know what was going to happen when I died. That was one of the pages we have in that legacy organizer.
Well, Brian, I'm so grateful for just the wisdom that you've brought to a very sensitive topic. And I know that our listeners, many of them, need to get their hands on your resource so that they can not just agree that this is a good idea, but do something about it. If people are interested in getting their hands on the legacy organizer, how should they do that?
You just need to go to legacyorganizer.com, and there's printed versions they can order. There is a non-religious version if someone does not want something saying Christian on it. And there's also digital versions, Microsoft Word, if they want something that they can fill in all the forms on a computer. So there's three options, the Christian, the non-religious, and the digital version, Microsoft Word, at legacyorganizer.com.
Great. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us. I hope we'll get to have you back for another topic. For all of our listeners, go ahead and get to the legacyorganizer.com. And also, if you want more information on Lead Like Jesus, go to leadlikejesus.com. We'll see you next time.